a bite-sized chunk of your favourite show, the Tom, Lingy and Loggy podcast.
Do the names Ed and Lorraine Warren mean anything to you?
Yes. Where do I know them from? Were they the, like, the doll and the couple? They're the couple, yes, that do the, yes, paranormal investigations.
Yes, yes. And the doll is Annabelle.
That's it. Annabelle. So,
yes.
And what movie was that from? It wasn't...
So it's The Conjuring.
The Conjuring, that's
yeah,
it.
Yeah, The Conjuring. But it's like Annabelle is... Well, The Conjuring universe is based on kind of Annabelle, and it's based on the Warrens, right?
Yeah,
and there's,
yeah,
a whole bunch of different movies and spin-offs and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
But Annabelle is a real doll.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And they were real people.
They're and they're real
now,
people.
They?
Yeah. Oh, actually, I'm not sure if they are or not.
Okay.
But anyway, because it was hauntings in the 70s, so I assume they'd still be alive, or they may be. But they had this occult museum, and Annabelle was a doll that they had in their museum.
Yeah.
And it's a Raggedy Ann looking doll.
Mm.
And what happened was that a student...
I wouldn't say that. She can probably hear.
No, don't. No, I can't. No, I accept nothing, and I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Right? But according to the Warrens, back in the day, this student nurse was given the doll. And apparently the doll was behaving strangely. And then
the
psychic...
Well, the fact that it was behaving at all and it's a doll.
Exactly, right.
It's quite strange, yes.
Then this psychic medium told the student that the doll was, quote, inhabited by the spirit of a deceased girl named Annabelle. And Annabelle was a bit peed off, you could say.
Okay.
Yeah. And then all this stuff started happening, and then they called in the Warrens and they said, oh, yeah, it's demonically possessed.
Right.
And so we're going to take this doll.
Yeah.
And they locked it up in a box and put it in their museum, right?
Mm.
Well... This doll has been on a bit of a tour.
Ah, oh, okay, like the Melbourne Cup.
Yeah, kind of, right? So it's Devils on the Run tour, and it's hosted by the New England Society for Psychic Research, the NESPR.
Yeah.
Anyway, traveling around the country in America, and it made a tour stop in New Orleans.
Yeah.
New Orleans itself, very haunted.
Yeah.
Very haunted part of the world, and a lot of terrible, horrific things happen there in regards to slavery and things like that.
Yeah.
Now, there's this house that has gone up in New Orleans.
Mm.
It's been burnt down, one of these plantation houses that slaves were kept
at. Yeah, yeah.
And horrific things happen there, and people are saying, that's funny, because Annabelle came to town and then all of a sudden this house has gone up, right? And then people are saying, so Annabelle's gone and she's been stolen from this exhibit.
What? She's... Oh, no. The actual doll...
The actual doll.
...has gone missing.
The actual doll's gone missing. And so people are freaking out.
Why isn't that bigger news? Why didn't we open with that?
So this is the thing, though. I've had a look into it.
Yeah.
And now, as of yesterday, someone said, hey, I'm in the museum right now... And I can confirm she's not missing. She's in Chicago.
Okay.
And that's where she is, and she is 100% there. Because people are like, why isn't she on display? Why can't we see her? She's not there anymore. They're not talking about it.
Yeah.
People are freaking out. Yeah. Something has happened.
Yeah, right. So what they don't understand is logistics and tours. So what happens is it comes to town for a little bit. And then they pack it all up again and put it on a plane, and then they take it to another town.
Yes,
and that's where the sort of the understanding has fallen over.
Yeah, so that seems to be. Yep. But if you hear that, you heard it here first. Yep. Annabelle is fine.
Yep.
And we rebuke it in the name of Jesus.
The Tom, Lingy and Loggy podcast.
You know, today is actually a very special day. I didn't realise, Lingy. Sorry, it's only just occurred to me now. National Redhead Day.
Oh.
Oh, mate.
Is it really?
It is.
Yeah.
Now, there's a bit of conjecture on the date.
Okay.
But it seems that the official Australian date is today.
Mm. As someone who's married to a beautiful redhead, I would suggest every day is Redhead Day.
Yeah.
Yes.
The day to celebrate is any day.
As it should be, Tommy. Thank you. Why is there conjecture on the date?
No, because some people are like, oh, no, it's on another date. I saw the news outlets over the weekend celebrating on the weekend. Well, that's not official.
Okay.
This is
official.
So that's
just, again, another example of people not caring about redheads.
Exactly.
Enough.
But we do. And this is why I wanted to play your, you know, I guess... It's your anthem.
Yeah, the national anthem.
Yeah.
Sticks and stones may break your bones, but words can break hearts.
a couple of cheese. Cheese, unless you've had to live it, an R and an E. Even I am careful with it, an I and an N. In the end, it will only offend. Don't want to have to spell it out again.
This is your theme.
What is this?
This is your theme song, mate.
Do you know who it is?
Yeah.
It's Tim Minchin.
Only a ginger can call another ginger ginger. Only a ginger.
Is it?
Can call another ginger ginger. So listen to me, if you care for your health, you won't call me ginger, lass, you ginger yourself. Yeah, only a ginger can call another ginger ginger. Yep, when you are a ginger, life is pretty hard.
There you go. All right, we're going to persist.
Kids call in your anger and fan of pants. No invitation to the high school dance, but you get up and learn to hold your head up. You try to keep your cool and not get head up. Until the filling of ill is truly let up, then the word is ours and ours alone.
I just want to check on this bit too.
Only a ginger can call another ginger ginger. Yep, only a ginger can call another ginger ginger. So if you call us ginger, we just might come unhinged. If you don't have a fringe with at least a tinge of the ginger in it, only a ginger can call another ginger ginger.
You're loving this, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm surprised at how much you're into this, love.
You're not looking for sympathy just because we're sensitive to UV. Just because we're pathetically pale.
Oh.
We do all right with the females. Yeah, I like to ask the ladies round for ginger beer. And soon they're running their fingers through my ginger beard. And dunking my ginger nuts into their ginger tea, yeah. And asking, can they call me Ginger? And I say, I don't think that's appropriate, because only a ginger.
Now,
so much to unpack.
Do you feel all of that, my friend? I mean, the Fanta Pants comment, the women not having any problem with the women, the...
He was making a point about that don't call a ginger a ginger, only one, yeah. But then he'd just give a couple of little backhanders just to clip us about the
No,
past.
No, no, he's ginger.
I know he's yeah, that's okay.
So he's saying, so that's what he's saying, you know? And
yeah, but it doesn't stop any of you saying it, though.
I've never
thing.
Called you fan of pants.
No.
No, I've never talked about your nuts. Or your pubes.
Tom!
Do you know, when Loggy said we're going to play some celebratory songs for him, I got some together.
Got my spine, I got my
You're so many people's orange crush.
Yeah.
Am I really?
Are. And also this one appropriate.
Oh, that. Yeah. White a shade of pale.
White a shade of pale.
Oh, yes. I like that.
No, but we wanted to celebrate you today and say, you know what? You've copped it, and I know you got a lot of childhood trauma about you having red hair. But you are beautiful, you are wanted, you are special, you are loved, and you look great.
Thank you so much, Log. I actually had, I've got to say this, is a little brag. Can I brag in this day of celebration?
Sure.
Little moment yesterday at the footy, I was working at the footy. Chad Warner, you know the Swans superstar,
sure.
Chad Warner, yeah.
Sure.
He came, I had to interview him before the game, and his media boss said, oh, have you met Lee before? And he's like, no. But he was like my favourite player growing up. I love him. I've been so excited to meet him. This is the best thing. And then we were chatting and it was like, oh, I knew this and that. I was like, oh, this is awesome. Chad Warner's one of my favourite players.
That's so
cool. Now he is.
Sorry,
what's that got to do with the redhead thing? Is that?
Because redheads are cool.
Oh, he has red hair.
No, he just thinks I'm cool.
Did he mention the redhead factor?
He
or are you just telling
cool.
us a story about you being
Because redheads
cool.
are cool.
I don't understand
sure
the logic there. Yeah. That's okay.
This
it's
is
your
my day.
Day.
Look, see, you're trying to make it a negative again.
Tom, Lingy and Loggy. Listen live weekdays at 6 a.m. on K-Rock 955 or online at krock.com.au.
Doing the jump with Brad Johnson for Prestige Echo Geelong.
Jono, a lot of footy news over the weekend, but the coaches were the ones making the headlines.
They
some were dragged in against their will. Others wanted to get on the front foot. The Ross Lyon, Damien Hardwick one from last night was an interesting one. So Ross Lyon, in a pre-match interview, has called the Gold Coast Suns the AFL Nepo baby.
Okay.
Basically saying they get everything through the academy, all the assistants, et cetera, et cetera. Damien Hardwick, after the Suns have won the game against the Saints, has fired back in his post-match press conference saying, you know, maybe the Saints should just worry about their own backyard. There was only 13,000 fans at Marvel Stadium yesterday, so maybe focus on a few other things.
Yeah.
Bit going on.
There's a little bit going on, which is in somewhat, it's good for us because it gives us a chance to sort of, you know, see the edginess of these coaches and Ross just trying to, you know, probe an opposition coach and organisation, which I agree with Damien Hardwick. He's got to worry about his own backyard. They're not playing great footy. They can't score. They're not the best team to sort of watch and haven't been for the last couple of years under his guidance. So pressure is starting to build from a St Kilda point of view and Ross Lyon point of view. He's probably got another... He'll get away with this season, but if it continues on and he can't get the players in that he wants to help, you know, secure his strength in lineup, then there will be pressure on Ross. So all of it started just bubbles around him and he's trying to deflect a little bit, which he's been the best at.
Yeah.
At deflecting from where they're particularly at and putting it on others. So he gets the response from Damien Hardwick, which was perfect. He's right. There was a small crowd and Gold Coast are absolutely flying at the moment.
Two fierce competitors, those two.
And they will not back down either, which is great. Yeah.
I love that because that's two coaches. That's the two leaders of their organisations doing whatever they want to do strategically and biting back everything like that. Thursday night, Luke Beveridge, Dogs coach, gets involved with a Channel 7 commentator in Kane Corns.
Yep. Well, he hadn't seen Kane for a couple of years. There's been, obviously, Kane said some things over the last couple of years that Bevo hasn't appreciated and the club as well. And Bevo was actually walking towards us at Fox
to do an interview.
Yeah. Right.
So he's walked past, because both broadcasters are there about 15 metres apart, he's had to walk past Channel 7 first. And he hadn't seen it. And they sort of caught eyes and gave him a bit of a stare. And Kane sort of said, Bevo. And
then Kane walked towards
Bevo. He did, which was bizarre. And then they obviously dragged him away. And he was a tiny bit sort of rattled when he got to us because it was on his mind. Hadn't seen this guy for a while. Now, have I done something really ordinary here by stopping? But he got through the interview well and things like that. But it...
I don't think Bevo did anything wrong at all.
Of course he didn't.
I think as broadcasters, as the commentators, our job is to stay out of the way of the players and the coaches unless it is organised for us to interact with them.
That's right. Exactly.
Bevo should be in his own headspace, allowed to do whatever he needs to do.
I even stepped out. So we sort of line up and we were just, I think it was Jack Rewalt was talking and I was just sort of stepped out. Because I could see something happening. So
yes, get the
tea,
like, John.
Hang on. Do you need help?
Yeah, you need me to come over. Lay the boot in.
Yeah. See, and that's the stuff you're supposed to film for your socials.
No worries. I need to employ someone then, do I?
No, full-time video. Just stick the phone out and be like, what's going on here? Send it to me. Unknown source sent this. No one will ever know. Come on, Jono. Think fast.
You laughing in the background.
Yes. Smiling and carrying on. But you're right, there were some pressure from some of the coaches and there's others under pressure at the mid part of the season as well. And Ken Hinckley is one of those. And a lot of discussion at the moment around Port Adelaide and where they're at as a footy club because they've named Josh Carr as their next coach. For those that aren't aware, he'll take over in 2025. But some are saying, well, is that really working now? Because, you know, Ken and where's the group at? Are they a realistic finals team? And if they think they are, they maybe need to make a move, unfortunately, for Ken, who I think deserves a full year in the seat to finish off. He's been a very, very good coach for Port Adelaide over a long time. But that's the decision they have to make. Are we a realistic finals chance? If they say yes, they've got to work out the way to get these players to that position. If they say no, this year's done, then let Ken coach it out.
Yeah. I had a really beautiful Ken Hinckley story on the weekend about Willie Rioli, I believe, when he went to Port. Ken had played Willie Rioli senior, I think, in the 80s when he was at Geelong and played against Port. Now, the details may not be exactly right here, but and they'd swapped jumpers. And so Ken still had Willie Rioli senior's jumper. So then Willie Rioli junior came to Port and he welcomed him with his dad's jumper. Ken, what a guy.
Ken is a beautiful man.
You know him really well, Lingy. And I've only come across him in small parts throughout the journey, but he's always been sort of, you know, nice and up for a chat and, a good laugh as well off camera.
I've just Googled him so I know what he looks like.
Okay, great. Got to imagine that when it wraps up at Port, there will be work for him elsewhere.
Guaranteed.
He's one of the nice guys, yeah.
Tom, Lingy and Loggy. Listen live weekdays at 6 a.m. on K-Rock 955 or online at krock.com.au.
Let's do this.
Best.
Best and fairest.
Best and fairest. Best.
You need a vest. See his vest. See his protective sporting vest.
It's our ad.
Yeah, I am recording, actually. You can have that later. I'll send it to you after the show.
Appreciate it.
Xena Sports is the vest. Get online. It's a good time of year to grab yourself one.
Sure is. Right in the mist, in the middle of footy season, that we're getting towards that. So absolutely, grab one, protect yourself, and stay out on the park.
Yes. You give your 3-2-1 for a Geelong game every single week for the vest and fairest. Now, is this going to be done through gritted teeth?
Yes, of course it is.
Yeah. Very much so. He's a professional.
Yes, I you am. Are, Jono. Come on.
Still out of bounds. But anyway, on the full. So the umpires get one. No, I'm only joking, of course. Bailey Smith gets one.
Okay.
He was very good again.
33 disposals for Bailey.
So, and Maxi Holmes gets two because he had 33 and kicked the goal.
Oh, what a goal.
And what a goal. Is it goal of the year quickly, Cameron?
No, I think it'll be topped. But I do love that run. Like where you just take it on multiple bounces, and well, people are leading at you, and you just go, nah,
just,
I got this.
It was just three bounces on the wing and a goal, like nothing special. Yeah. It's been done before.
Jono does that regularly.
No, it was a great goal. It did. It lifted the Cats. It was the loudest I've heard the stadium in some time, by the way. And Jeremy Cameron gets the three.
On your Jezza.
Six goals.
Yeah, so in the last 3 weeks, Jezza's gone 3-3-1.
Ooh.
He's on the charge.
Okay.
On the charge. Unfortunately, Bailey keeps getting votes, though, so it's tough to catch. But
Shannon Neal kicks five, couldn't get in your votes.
Just missed out.
Just missed.
A couple of easy ones, lucky free kicks in there. So unfortunately for Shannon, he's a big guy. I saw him at Good Things Concept Store the other week. He's a massive unit.
And did you hear, he spoke after the game. Just quickly, he said he came to the club at 85 kilos and is now 105 kilos.
Ooh.
He's put on 20 since arriving at the club.
And can still move.
Yeah. Yes.
Weirdly, you also arrived and you put on 20 since since you started on this show.
Since you retired, yes.
Yeah. Wow.
You've lost it again, though, because you're looking very good at the moment.
In a different way.
Thanks, Jono.
Very good. You've shredded, haven't you?
See, compliments from you. Just
what are you doing, man shake? What are you up to?
Man shake? Yeah, he shakes his man.
Oh, okay, and that's where we'll end it. That'll do me. Thank you very much. Thank you, Jono.
Thanks for having me, Tommy.
Right. Mostly always a pleasure.
Tom, Lingy and Loggy. Why don't you get this podcast again sometime? And listen on air at KROQ 955 weekday mornings from 6.